Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. That's Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective, serving over 800 Penn State student athletes across 31 sports. If you want any more information, you can always go to the website, happyvalleyunited.com. And speaking of Happy Valley United, we have with us Executive Director for Football, Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing this week?
We're always doing great, Jim, especially being on this show with you. Love it.
You're just saying that.
No, that's not true.
Well, I appreciate it. Even if you're fibbing, I appreciate it, Mike. Exciting times for the Villagrana family. You're going to be bringing up the rest of the family that are still back in Virginia, aren't you?
Yeah. It's about that time. It's been, I guess I've been living that bachelor life in State College for too long. And now my family's going to be moving up. So I'm going back and forth, helping with the move. But yeah, move in a couple of days, and then the fam will follow me right after that last day of school. So we're looking forward to getting the fam back up there, especially since my son, the last time we were there, he was only three, so he doesn't remember a lot of this stuff, and he was still scared of the lion. And you know, my daughter wasn't born yet, so it's going to be special. It's going to be special seeing them and me showing them everything at Penn State.
Oh, that's fantastic. How old's your boy now?
My boy's 10, and my girl is 6. So it's going to be pretty cool for them to get there and, you know, everything that not just State College, but all the other areas, Bellefonte, Bowlesburg, those areas, bring them there. Because we used to take Dom to all those like little areas, some of those mom and pop shops we're big fans of.
Oh, well, yeah, there's so many great places to go in State College, but the exposure to football, I'm sure your son at 10 years old, now he could appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, big time. You know, we did a camp when I was working with Virginia Tech, a youth camp, and it went 3 days. It was like, you know, from the morning to the afternoon. And he got paired with the team. And, you know, they did the games, the 7-on-7 and stuff like that. It really kind of opened his eyes up, especially when he had one of the players as his coach. You know, it's just neat seeing that because, you know, when we're all young, we're going to look up to somebody. And then you see this football player, they're like God to them, you know. So that really kind of opened up his eyes to just sports and people to, you know, look up to. So it's kind of neat seeing his fandom evolve.
Now, Dad, meaning you were tight end and offensive line, right?
I was a defensive tackle my first year and a half, and then a tight end for the rest of my career.
Okay. New lineman, tight end. So how about your boy, Dom? Which way is he leaning position-wise?
So he played his first year of tackle football this past season, but he ended up getting in and ended up falling off some like recess thing, and he broke his wrist. So he wasn't able to play, but before he got hurt, he was playing center. And he liked it, but he's pretty quick. So I don't know, but you don't know what the heck those guys are going to be at that age. I always tell my wife and my friends, like I ended up being pretty decent at football, you know, my high school career. But when I started football, I was goofy, terrible. I stunk. Coach did not want to put me in.
Well, you grew into it. You matured with it. I'm sure you can't wait to have your son and daughter back home with you in State College. Anyway, let's move on. Mike, a good couple weeks on the recruiting front, and this is one of the great things about having you on our show. We get kind of the inside scoop on people like the recruits and how the players are doing. I want to talk to you about the two recruits that came in the last couple weeks, one defensive lineman, the other wide receiver. Where do you want to start? D-line or wide receiver?
Let's start with wide receiver.
All right, let's do it. Davian Brown, 4-star wide receiver from sort of your neck of the woods down in Virginia. He's a Richmond kid. He's a top 150 player. 6'1", 200 pounds, already some good size. What can you tell us about Davian Brown?
Yeah, so Davion Brown referred to as did you say the nickname?
Fat Rat.
Fat Rat. Yeah, that's what he goes by. So I've had the opportunity to see him when he was just a freshman. We had him in camp when I was at Virginia Tech. Obviously, we had pretty good ties in that Richmond area, and in that school, Trinity Episcopal, is a powerful school. They're a powerhouse in Richmond. So we recruited the heck out of that school, and we had some good ties there. And so we saw him early, and I believe we were his first offer when we were at Virginia Tech. We just knew that the kid was going to be pretty special. His numbers were off the charts, and they were compared to or better than some of the seniors that were at camps. And then not only that, the thing that kind of stood out to me is, you go to these camps, and if you do well, sometimes you'll get the opportunity to meet the head coach one-on-one or a position coach one-on-one after the camp. Obviously, he was one of those guys, and then we brought him in, coach offered him, and, they were excited. But getting to know him in that short time was interesting. He's a guy that doesn't really, at that time, didn't really do social media, and he didn't play video games. He was like kind of like an old school kid, what we grew up in. It was always outside just doing sports, stuff like that. He said he didn't even own a gaming system. And to me, like, that maybe sounds something little, but right now, like, that's huge. You're getting a guy like that that's going to just eat and die for football. It's pretty cool. We're getting really a special kid with Fat Rat, especially in that area. Because they're always producing really good talent. So it's good to continue to pull some guys out of that area.
Well, first of all, any kid who has a nickname of Fat Rat, I'm rooting for, okay? That's by any chance, why he's called Fat Rat?
I don't, but I'm looking forward to finding out the real reason.
And what I like is the size. Already 6'1", 200 pounds, he's just finishing up a junior year of high school. So he may not be done growing.
Oh yeah. There's no chance he's done growing. He's kind of reminds me of Matthew Outten a little bit, he's a bigger kid, ton of horsepower, similar. He is a big kid. Once he gets into a college weight room and under Coach Losey and his squad, yeah, he's going to end up filling out.
It always excites me to see those bigger receivers, the guy who could just go up one-on-one. I'm an Eagles guy. I see a ball go up towards A.J. Brown. I expect the ball to be caught, with that. So is that the kind of thing that we look for with Davion Brown? Is he that big wingspan, a big catch radius?
Yeah, he's a big catch radius guy. He's going to be able to get those 50-50 balls, talented. Athletically, he can jump out of the roof. He's twitched up, explosive off the line of scrimmage, really good hands, really understand, just has a really good feel for football, right? Like he's just not out there and just a speed guy. So he's going to bring a lot to the table, especially as he develops and he grows, to see where he kind of ends up in that receiver room.
Well, let's take a look at that receiver room as far as this recruit. Now, he's class of 26. There's two other wide receivers in that class, Jazeer Rogers and LeVar Keys. They both are the smaller receivers. One's Rogers listed at 5'10", 165. Keys 5'9½, 165. So these are different style receivers that we've got there.
Yeah, but everybody has a redeeming trait, right? So anytime you go and you look at these guys, you can knock and say, he's maybe too big, or maybe he's too small. Well, we're always looking for a redeeming Superman quality that will compensate for that trait that maybe is just average, right? For instance, just off the top of my head, Tysier, right? Recruiting him, he's kind of a wiry, smaller guy, twitchy. You maybe say, hey, he's going to be injury prone due to his size, but he's really smart, intelligent football player when he has the ball in his hands and he's make you miss guy. And so he has that redeeming quality that he's twitched up, you know, more than the average athlete, which makes up for his size.
Well, that's, I think, the trait when a lot of people just look at that 40 number, you know, always, you know, 4'4", 4'3", 40 kind of guy. But I would think also that 5'9", 5'10 guy, just as important, if maybe not more, is that twitchiness, you know, that guy who could escape you in a phone booth, you know, type of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys are special. I mean, look at the NFL. Those guys that are small, like, they dominate NFL football, right? Like Tyreek Hill, those smaller guys. I mean, they're you add them into it creates matchup mismatches, and the big things, they're home run hitters, right? You know, you never know what will happen when the ball's in the hands.
And I always am curious about when scouting, and you've been in the recruiting world, so I know position by position. And at wide receiver, and I'm sure it's the case in other positions, but at wide receiver, that variety of body shapes is probably what you're looking for, right? It's, can I get the big-bodied guy with the catch radius? Can I get the smaller guy who's quick? I know those are the obvious traits, but what are the things when you look at a high school player to recruit, what are those special, more subtle things that you're looking for?
You know, I think when you talk about height, that height is, you know, always good as long as you can move with that height and you can still, you know, have good, quick lateral quickness. But, you know, if you have length, say you're on the shorter side, maybe 5'10", under 5'10", that some people may consider shorter. Well, he may have like really long arms, right, in length. So he may play like a 6'2" guy. So those are things that you look for when you're looking at a guy physically. And then athletically, you're looking for a guy that's twitched up. And when I say that, twitched up and has horsepower, he's able to get on off the line of scrimmage, and then he's able to get open, right? So twitch is always huge. And I think twitch, you know, ever since I've been doing the evaluating, you know, twitch comes up in every position almost, other than like really quarterback. You know, you're always looking for that first step, that quickness. And so guys that have really good quickness can really bring a ton of value to your roster.
Okay, fantastic, Mike. That's talking wide receivers in the class of 26. When we come back, a recent defensive line commitment. So we'll look at the defensive line class. We've got, I think, 3 commits so far for the class of 26. We'll look at them when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with our guest, Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Happy Valley United is the collective for Penn State football, serving over 800 Penn State student-athletes across 31 sports. Mike, speaking of Happy Valley United, I think it's important to talk about some of the things that you are doing, including some of the events that are coming up. I've been to a couple of the events. You guys do some great stuff that you put together. What are the things that are coming up that our listeners might be interested in?
Yeah, you know, we just last week you know, coming on a week now or week and a half, you know, we had the We Are Philly event. It was an unbelievable event. Had over 400 people there. Saquon and his foundation were able to make it. And, you know, I think what's pretty neat, Coach Franklin put out a picture of him and some of the guys that were there. You know, Mike Kosicki, Grant Haley, Trace was there, Koa, Pankos. Like getting those guys back together, like they love it. Because that was a special group. And just like You know, any Penn State that you talk to, you know, coming through Penn State, you're just, it's different. And so those guys getting back together, they love getting back together. Really, I mean, any teammates like seeing each other, but you know, what those guys did that were there, you know, a lot of them from the 2016, 2017 season, it's pretty neat, you know, because those guys were really instrumental and helped get Penn State to where it is right now.
Well, I also got to think that it's great to have former Penn State players on the coaching staff, and also just to have these events, and not that this is about recruits, this kind of event, but when recruits come in and see that legacy of, you know, the former Penn State players, hear what Penn State means to them. And let's face it, if you're a running back and you see Saquon Barkley, that's got to give you a pretty positive perspective about Penn State.
Yeah, especially when these guys are coming back and they're supporting Penn State like they are. You know, that means they had a great experience. You know, and then when you talk to them and you realize, man, this guy's really buttoned up, really, really impressive person, right? So the money hasn't really gotten to them because of the way that they were wired through the Penn State program. So that's really neat seeing them come through. You know, from a recruiting standpoint, it's like kind of twofold. You're recruiting the recruits in that area are seeing a presence from Penn State football, which is always good to have that consistently happen in areas that are important to us. Also, you're recruiting the donors and the supporters and the Penn State fans in that area, not just to give donations to Penn State, but also just to support us and see us under a positive light is really important. So then one day that they want to, you know, contribute, you know, they see the different ways to contribute. So it's, you know, you're recruiting that area from a recruiting standpoint, and you're also a high school standpoint, and also from, you know, donors and supporter standpoint. And that's why we're having an event, you know, around the U.S. Open in June. We're going to do it. We are Pittsburgh. So, you know, we're hoping to, you know, get across the state, all the main areas that are really good to us and all the main areas in, you know, Philly, only the second year. And, you know, we're doing a really good job there. And I think it's helping our recruiting efforts, actually.
Well, we're going to be talking about recruiting in Philadelphia. But I did want to mention you talked about recruiting the donors. You and I were on a Zoom call the other night with some donors, some people who are involved in the housing effort where people open up their homes in State College to the families of players in game week. And there's an example I've seen over the last couple of years, how much that has grown. You were part of that conversation. You must enjoy seeing that. And I know that the people there were so appreciative that you were part of that conversation, Mike.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, some of our supporters since I got here have been great. You know, I've had some previous relationships with people, but the game has changed so much with the NIL space that I really had to connect with like a whole nother world of people. So, you know, some of the supporters that I already knew that I didn't know have kind of opened up their arms to me, and it's been great. And I've been able to reach out and connect with people that may potentially want to help with NIL, but through HVU and the different arms that we have through HVU now. So it's nice to be able to have that platform and talk to them about the different ways that they can donate, you know, being a member, talk to them about our new partnership with State Media. So that creates more of an asset and value to our sponsorships with our local companies that we want to help out. When they want to, you know, help out with an event sponsorship, title sponsorship, they want, you know, that maybe host and be a podcast sponsorship for us, a radio sponsorship, something like that. But yeah, the people on that call, I think it's really important, especially right now as we're continuing to evolve, that they understand what HVU is and what it has become and what we're striving to become. And, you know, those kind of events, I meet people like you, Jim. You know, I met you at the bowling event. I met, you know, a bunch of guys at that bowling event that I'm still talking to right now that, you know, aren't necessarily giving me money. And that's not what I'm asking for or what HVU is asking for, you know, directly. You know, that's for the Excellence Fund, right? The Football Excellence Fund, if you want to donate and get a tax write-off, it's a great way to do it. And then doing some other different kind of campaigns with the team room seat backs, which is a really phenomenal campaign. But we want memberships. We want to be able to help them with our access. And then it's really a win-win when HVU partners with a local business or a company.
Well, I'm not sure if you were still on the call when it came up, when everyone introduced themselves towards the end of the call. Aeneas Hawkins was the one talking about that, the seeding thing.
Yeah.
There started to be a bidding war for the Aeneas joked about his seat, you know, in Aeneas Hawkins' seat. And sure enough, by the end of that phone call, there was a bidding war for Aeneas.
Yeah. Well, you can see why Aeneas is special, just not, you know, on the field. And he's going to be really successful in whatever he does post-football. You know, he's with us now in the football building, and he can be a great salesman. I think you've seen things that he's done with state media. He's very articulate, sharp, buttoned up, Penn State guy, you know. And we always joke. He jokes with me. He says the reason why he came to Penn State was because of me. But I was just one of the guys just – reaching out, trying to get him on campus, and we were able to get him on campus, him and his family, and then, you know, kind of the rest took care of itself. And it's pretty special to see him and back in the building and doing well now.
Well, I know I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, but I think it's important. You have, you know, the exposure to the current players, the former players, the donors, the fans, and what I found in that experience also is there seems to be a cultural alignment. It's all about family. And just a small example, you mentioned the bowling event, which was for the incoming freshmen, the early enrollees. We did this, like, I think back in March. And to see the fans, donors interacting with the players, you could see this developing relationship, you know, and between the players, the Penn State fan base. It's great to see. And it does at least feel to me like there's that cultural alignment, Mike.
Yeah, I think so. And that's, you know, we're working to get that alignment even better every day. Right. And that's from top down. That's from, you know, all the different entities that we have. And I think we're all in a good place right now, striving for the same thing. You know, the Excellence Fund is a great way to donate, like I just talked about, and they're doing different campaigns like the Team Room campaign. If you haven't, you know, check that out. If you haven't already, it's really neat initiative. That's going to, you know, ultimately go back to our players and bring good players. But also there's the quarterback club, right? There's the alumni association. There's Playfly. There's all these different people that are trying to do essentially the same thing, but you don't want, everybody needs to make sure that they're not stepping on each other's toes and you're in your lane, right? That those lanes weren't really clear a couple months ago, maybe, you know, late when I kind of first got into this thing, but it happened really fast because everybody understood we got to get on the same page. We all have to have alignment, and we're striving to get there every day. That's why you kind of hear me talk about, you know, Dan Caballo, Brett and Elby and the Excellence Fund and what they do there is excellent. It's awesome. You know, what Playfly does, Morgan, Dan Solomon, all those guys, they do a phenomenal job in that space. Quarterback club with Oldsie and John Soren is awesome, you know, and then the Alumni Association, we're working with them, which they haven't done in the past, but now we're having conversations about working with each other because that's what it's all about. You know, we're all working for the same things. And if we're able to collaborate to make something more better or maximize an event or an initiative, we should all work together. And it is, it's all coming together. And I love seeing it happen. I wish it could happen overnight, but it's not. But we are in such a good place right now.
Well, you know, I'm going to blow some smoke up your skirt, Mike. I think you've been doing a great job at this. I've seen you at work creating relationships with people. And just in the time I've been involved in the last couple of years with the different groups, the different organizations, the alumni group, you know, Tom Hess and his group, just all the different people, you've reached out to like everybody and just trying to get that everybody in sync, everyone, you know, rowing the boat in the same direction, if I could steal a little bit from PJ Fleck there.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Jim, but I'm really genuinely appreciative of the opportunity that I have here. You know, I'm fortunate to be working under Coach Franklin and put in this position I consider myself a people person, kind of. I like relationships. I think what was happening in the NIL space, just not here, but at first, people were scrambling, right? Trying to figure it out, just raise, raise, raise. No matter what that is, that's going to create the donor fatigue that you hear about, right? But now, as I just spoke on, you know, we have these lanes. And what's great about it is we're able to really kind of make this thing, for me, more like Coach talks about, transformational, right? Like when he talks to recruits and families and media, he talks about, and when regarding the NIL space, he talks about, he doesn't want it all transactional, right? He wants this to be a transformational program. Well, the same thing with Happy Valley, I kind of take that in a sense, like I want that, my relationships with them to be transformational, right? And we have the platform to make that happen. So that's all I've been doing, is trying to reach out to them, talk about what we're trying to do and how we can help Happy Valley, or how we can help them as a business or a supporter, and how that in turn helps us. And to me, it's really it's a win-win. And I've been even explaining that. I've been trying to press that on the talents and everybody that we're trying to get to work with Happy Valley United. But to me, it's been awesome meeting with all these people, because everybody is rowing in the right direction.
Well, as someone who feels like I've been getting a front row seat to it, Mike, I really appreciate it. And I do think Coach Franklin has talked, it's not transactional, it's transformational, relationship oriented. I think you've been accomplishing that goal. You know what, Mike? I managed to kill the entire segment going off in that direction.
What we do?
I promise. When we come back, we're talking defensive line. Stay with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Mike Villagrana. I'm Jim Guanti. And I promise we're talking football this segment directly. We're talking football. We're talking class of 26, recruiting class, Mike. And this was a segue I wanted to do pretty early in quarter number two. I will do it here. You were talking about the event in Philadelphia, the We Are Philadelphia event, co-hosted by Saquon Barkley. Coach Franklin was there. Some Penn State lettermen were there, all different folks. And you pointed out that it helps in recruiting, you know, supporters in the region and obviously players in the region. Now, watch this. Here's my segue. Defensive lineman who committed last week, Alex Haskell, defensive lineman from St. Joe's Prep in Philadelphia, Mike. A nice 6'3 and a half, 265 pounds, and I think also pretty important. St. Joe's Prep is a monster program in the Philadelphia area. Yeah. Always nice to get someone from that kind of program.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the tough things about sometimes these programs like St. Joe's Prep, they get so recruited that you would think that like these schools in every state are just kind of like, it's a no brainer for these kids, right? That they're going to go to their home state, but they get so recruited and they get the top schools coming in there. Nobody's not going to go to St. Joe's during an evaluation period. So it's still pretty tough because, you know, the top schools in the country are going to offer these kids the best things, right? So we're competing for these kids that, you know, are, you know, top prospects. Now that makes it even more difficult when it's an in-state kid for us, you know, because we want to dominate the state as always, top players, but he was a must get. You know, Coach Franklin made that very clear in meetings that he's a must get. But you know, the staff did a phenomenal job with him their last visit when they were here. You know, just really a special kid. And if you look at him, you know, he looks great. He's another kid that once he gets in a weight room, he's going to be huge. he's going to be big, and he's got the athleticism to back it up too. And, you know, again, like, coach, this people see these D linemen. When you see D linemen, O linemen, big time kids like this committing to Penn State, you got to get excited. You got to get really excited, because that means we're doing a good job developing these guys, because these guys necessarily aren't coming in promised, you know, they're going to play. You know, Coach Franklin and the staff would never do that anyways. But, you know, they're probably coming in and understand that they're going to redshirt. They're going to need development, you know, and this time in the climate of college football, that's tough to get. So that's really exciting, because a lot of schools aren't able to get the top offensive linemen and D linemen, because there's big time receivers and skill position. All right. And you can almost say they're a dime a dozen. But when it comes to the top offensive linemen and defensive linemen, there's not that many. So all the schools are going after them. So it's easier to miss on these guys. And the more misses you have, the more you're going to have to go to the portal. So, and that's what you don't want. You don't want to have to do a whole class of the portal. And schools have to do that right now, because they're not able to compete for big time players like Haskell and on the other side of the ball, the big time players, the big lugs, the offensive linemen.
Well, and I'm going to flip to the offensive line a little bit, like you compared them both, but you were here back in, what, 2015, 16, 17, that era?
Yes.
So it was the timing right after sanctions, when there were no offensive linemen on the roster. And so I think Penn State followers found out, if you don't have the big uglies there, things don't work so well. And great credit to Coach Troutwine, who came in. We talked about this on our show a few years ago, just the offensive line, you know, that was, they were the wide receiver room from a couple years ago. You know, it's like, is this finally going to be the year? Finally going to be the year. And now with Coach Troutwine, it's the year. Okay. It's been the last couple years. They've turned that corner. I feel like I get that same kind of feeling with Deion Barnes on the defensive line, that he's bringing the kids in, not just bringing them in, but also developing them. So it's creating that reputation now. You know, hey, a Penn State defensive end, that means something now.
Yeah, absolutely. I told, after Pro Day, when Chop was there, Chop and Abdul were there, he took that picture of – it was Deion, Chop, and who else? It was Abdul, and I think somebody else was in that picture. But it was such an awesome picture, right? And that's a credit to him. I mean, that's a resume right there, right? Like, yes. He's bringing these, like, players. Abdul, who was a 3-star, right, didn't have, you know, all the, you know, 5-star offers and attention, and was able to bring them in and develop them. That's really good for Deion. And also another thing, you know, credit to Coach Franklin and the way that he structures his staff. He was able to bring in other people to help Deion with the offensive or the defensive line. You know, the offensive line and defensive line, you know, you have, you know, 15, 20 kids in that room, you know, so that's a big task to handle that room. And, you know, when you are able to bring in people to supplement Deion, you know, that's really helpful.
I thought it was interesting too, Alex Haskell, he when he committed, he made a comment that he had been recruited by Deion Barnes since he was in the 8th grade, Mike.
Yeah, that's where we're at now. You get these kids and they come in and they come into camp a lot of the times when you see them, and then they jump out to you and you say, well, dang, this kid is going to be a stud. One day, so you start recruiting them. So those kids usually are in your footprint where you have a coach that covers that school, and they're going to see that when they visit that school, you know, the coach is talking to them about that 8th grader or that 9th grader that's coming in, and you just, they're now technically on your board, and you're following up, and as you're following up, they're developing and getting better, and then the recruitment becomes more serious. And that's just kind of how it happens. That used to be back in the day. Maybe that starts your sophomore junior year, or going into your junior year. But now that's starting at 8th grade, and especially for the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks are getting, you know, specialized training. They're doing all these things. They have all these trainers that are going to come out and say, you know, they're the next Drew Allar. So it's It's a definitely a different world. Everything, just like all recruiting, it just moves faster every year.
And well, let's talk specifically a little bit about Alex Haskell. I call them defensive linemen. He could go defensive tackle, defensive end. You look at him, do you see a tackle or an end?
I don't know. I think he's athletic enough to do both. You have, the rush ends that are, typically a little bit lighter than what he's going to end up being. But, having an end that is big like that, an explosive, I think, brings a lot of value and versatility to the defensive line for Coach Knowles and Dion. So time will tell what he is. I'm going to be excited watching him grow in that weight room, though, this next year. And not to jump ahead, but even, Kevin Brown, got to meet him a couple spring practices for the first time. He's going to be a freak. I actually played with his dad at West Virginia. So it was really cool catching up with his dad and seeing him and seeing his son.
Does that make you feel old, Mike?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, but I'm okay with it.
All right. Well, what's interesting is, I asked about defensive tackle versus defensive end, but I also get the feeling on defenses. We've seen this for a couple of years now. We saw it with Manny Diaz. I don't want to call it positionless defense, but these guys are moving around where you might have, multiple defensive ends, three of them on the line of scrimmage at a time, or you have seven guys on the line of scrimmage in a formation. One's a safety, one's a linebacker, one's a defensive end, one's a defensive tackle. Like in the talk about Abdul Carter making the switch from linebacker to defensive end, it's not like he hadn't lined up there before, right? I mean, these guys move around now in these sophisticated defenses of today.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things, right? It's all right. Coach Knowles, his scheme, all right, so he's going to match these players up to maximize their athletic ability to get the best results in his scheme, right? So scheme to scheme, it may change where a player ends up. And then it also depends on how the kid develops, physically, athletically. So where is he a fit? Where is he a right fit, in comparison to what is needed from those defensive positions in that scheme?
Real quick, we got a couple minutes left. A couple of the other players on the class of 26 on the defensive line, Daniel Jennings, he's an edge guy from West Virginia, 6'2", 200, four-star. And then for just a couple weeks ago, a commitment, Isaac, you're going to have to help me pronounce the last name.
just call him Big Dog.
Big Dog? Okay.
Yeah.
Fat Rat and Big Dog.
Yeah, no, that's just me saying that. Like, I don't want to screw up last names. So, man, what's up, Big Dog?
Well, give us the take on those two defensive linemen. I'll give him a try. Isaac Chukwuorah.
Yeah, so Isaac, he's a really good player. A ton of upside. Our staff absolutely loves him, especially the personnel staff loves him. Thinks he's going to be a big-time player. One of those guys that we've talked about that, isn't a four-star or a five-star on a couple of the recruiting services, but we trust our evaluation, just like we have in the past. And I think Isaac is just the same. He's going to be a guy that's going to come in. He's going to develop and has the potential and traits and the physicality in his tape to back up that he's going to be a pretty good player. We're really excited about him. And Daniel Jennings is a really good player coming out of Princeton. He's a little bit of a thinner side, so he's more of an edge guy. So really excited about him. Those are two different guys. When you add, Haskell, you got three defensive linemen that bring really kind of three different skill sets. That's good.
And you got to like that diversity. I do want to mention, you mentioned Daniel Jennings from Princeton. That's actually Princeton, West Virginia.
Yep.
Because so many of us, we hear Princeton, we obviously think of Princeton, New Jersey. So
yeah.
just to clarify, when I say West Virginia, Mike says Princeton, we're not contradicting each other. All right, Mike, that is it for defensive lineman talk. When we come back again, I want to go through this idea that you're giving us the peek behind the curtain, how things happen. I want to talk to you about all of these guys that you bring in. You first bring them in for recruiting visits, an official visit. I want to ask you, since you're involved in it, just what is that like? I think that would be a lot of fun for our listeners. We're going to do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four of our show. I'm Jim Galante. I am along with Happy Valley United Executive Director Mike Villagrana. Mike is giving us a peek behind the curtains. We got some recruiting conversations, some scouting reports on some of the class of 2026. Mike, now I want, again, to peek behind the curtain a little bit, because I'm really fascinated by this, how the whole recruiting process works. And I know there's a whole lot else that goes on, but I wanted to talk to you about what a recruiting visit, say an official visit, what that looks like, what the progression is. Let's just say I am like this high four-star quarterback. I'm a dual-threat guy. I'm not your classic NFL pocket quarterback, okay? I'm more that dual-threat, more quickness than straight-ahead speed. But you want to impress me. You want to get me to the Penn State campus. And by the way, I do still have my eligibility left here.
Yeah,
Mike.
Good enough.
Just a side note. I don't have that straight-ahead speed, but I have that twitch that you talked about, okay? So it doesn't help me that you're laughing at me.
No. I got to stand someday then.
But let's pretend that I have demonstrated those abilities and I haven't expressed an interest in getting to Penn State and finding out what it's all about. First of all, the logistics. You visited my school and, you know, I've expressed some interest. How do we get that official visit happening? Is it me saying I want to come out? Is it you saying, Jim, we want you out there? Then how does it all happen?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jim. A lot of people just see that the kid's on campus, right? And then they just look for a commitment, bat signal to go out.
Exactly.
We are better. Yeah, but leading up to that, it takes a lot of work within the building. I don't think a lot of people realize. What's interesting about, an official visit is like the window of taking official visits has moved up. Everything moves up and it's speeding up in recruiting. It used to be you wanted our kids to visit in December or in November, right? Because then they'd be signing, in February or whenever or that next week in the first signing period. Now everybody's taking their visits in the summer. So everything's sped up. So now you're trying to get all your top players to take visits within one of those weekends. And sometimes the weekends don't even work. So you got to logistically make it work that they can come in on a weekday or weekdays. So that has brought, more challenges to the logistic part of it. So what they do, fast forward is they'll figure out a date with the position coach. And then that position coach will say to Catherine Kennedy, who's the on-campus director, at Penn State, and say, all right, hey, Mike Villagrand has come in, on this date. So then she'll reach out to the guests or the parents of that recruit, talk through all the logistics, whether they want to drive Do they want to get a rental? Do they want car service? Is it a flight? What airport? And then they book the tickets. And then there's a lot of coordination and communication between Kat and her staff with the recruits. So then once that's all booked, you know, Kat, the personnel staff, the coach, the area coach, and Coach Franklin will talk about what that visit looks like when they come on campus. And it's just not a bullet point slide. All right, here's what we're doing day one, day two, day three. No, it's pages of logistics that's put together by Kat and her staff. And then it's ran through multiple times with the staff, you know, the personnel staff, Andy Frank and Coach Franklin, to make sure that we're not missing a beat any part of the day. So it is minute by minute planned. I always have said that these things are like weddings. It's really tough to make everybody happy because everything's getting scrutinized from the time that they get on campus to the time that they leave. But Penn State, you know, wired me the way that I was, and I was lucky to move forward and carry on that detail, the attention to detail when it came to visits. But, you know, coming back, they've even leveled up, you know, every year on the way that they handle these visits. So these parents, these guests, these kids, they're leaving with no questions, right? They're going to leave. And if they didn't think they were coming to Penn State, they're thinking they're coming to Penn State by the time they leave. And it's everything is calculated throughout the visit. But it takes a lot of planning and time. And that's why you see these staffs are growing in college football, because you need these staffs to be able to maximize and do a good job and make it first class.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about, you mentioned that it used to always be a weekend visit. Now it's sometimes during the week. Let's stick to like the weekend visit. What is the time frame? Does the student athlete come in typically like on Friday and stay through Sunday? Is that the timing?
Yeah, you know, this has evolved too. You know, it used to be that they come in and they come in, you know, mid-afternoon, you know, dinner time Friday, and then you only have, you know, 48 hours or whatever it is to have the visit per the NCAA rule. So you try to, you know, maximize all that time all the way till late Sunday. Now it's, and you try to fit everything in, you know, it's not just you're watching film, it's everything, anything and everything. We're throwing it at them again, you know, strategically and making sure it flows right. But a lot of times these guys we're trying to get them in on Thursday night. And because we don't have contact with them on Thursday night, their clock doesn't start essentially. So, but that allows our staff to do is to maximize Friday. So we can knock out a lot of the, you know, a lot of maybe the academic things, you know, the professors and the academic staff may be more available on Friday than Saturday. So that allows us to be more flexible and fit more things in instead of jamming things up all in one Saturday. And then what I found, and I think what you find when you do that, is if you jam everything into a Saturday, and you just go meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, these guys are tired, right? Because, you know, the families on Friday night, we're going out with them. You know, we're having dinner and just, you know, just talking life, talking ball, getting to know each other. It's a really great opportunity to just be able to sit down and relax with them while the recruits go out with the athletes and hang out with them. So that Saturday, you want to be able to give them some time in between events that, you know, that they're focused on each moment, right? They're in the moment for everything, for the strength and conditioning segment, for the NIL segment, for the head coach meeting segment, for nutrition segment, right? If you jam everything up together, like, you know, attention spans nowadays, like, it's going to be tough. So bringing them in on Thursday, long story short, is beneficial. And that's what a lot of schools are trying to do now.
Now, it sounded like, and I do know this, that sometimes you get a guide, another player who will take the player and hang out. And I'm sure you're very selective in who you want to be that guide.
Oh yeah, that's a very big deal when you're picking the hosts, or, you know, guys that you want to be around that recruit.
And I, I've heard those players even compete with each other, what their success rate is.
Oh, yeah. It's competing, right? Coach says it, compete in everything that you do. And that's wired in the brains. And so, you know, they make it fun. You know, I remember having to do that and take those guys out. And it was always fun being around the high school kids and, you know, seeing them. And they're so green to everything. And then you're just trying to, you know, really kind of give them an idea of what it is to be in that program, the social life, the academic life from their perspective. It's really important.
Now, is there a place where the staff will talk to the parent, say, separate from the player? And if that's the case, I guess I'm also curious, what do the parents, what are they looking for? And what's the most unusual thing you've had a parent ask?
Oh, that's a good question. All right. So the first question is, all right, the time with the parents and the guests, separate from the recruits, it's usually at night. It's when they split. The players go with the player hosts. And the parents hang out with the staff and the coaches. And it's usually somewhere where we just finished up eating. And then we'll just hang out or maybe go to another place in downtown State College and just hang out with them and just talk, right? And I think every parent and every family is different. I think, you know, for the most part, it shouldn't be too crazy because you've vetted people. On the front end, coach is transparent about the type of kids that we want here. He's transparent to the kids on the front end about if you're coming here for NIL, this isn't the place. This is a developmental school. It's academics is very important. You know, the community outreach is very important. But, you know, so usually by the time you get to an official visit and you're with them, you already know them. It's almost like a reunion. To me, like when you brought in all these guys that you've been recruiting for the last 3 years and you have a pretty good idea that they're going to be picking us or it's between two people, you have a really good relationship and they're your friends, essentially. Right. So going out with them and everything, it's like a reunion. It's fun usually because you know them, you know how they are, you know how to, you know, chalk it up with them. So by the time you get to that, it's like I said, it's pretty organic. It's pretty easy to talk to them. It's really just icing on the cake. Weirdest request. There's been some weird things that have happened. I guess the first thing that pops up in my head is one of our big time recruits when I was at Mississippi State. This wasn't a request. But there were some things going on that some coaches did not want him to go on that visit. And it was a very well-known school in the SEC and coach that didn't want him to go on that visit. We're speculating, but I'll go on a limb and say it 100% is true. So he said he was sick and he couldn't go out of his room. So he basically locked himself in the room and said he was sick, him and his family, for basically a day. And then, you know, we got him out of there the next day.
You know what? Just between you and me, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that other school? Just you and I. Nobody else listening. I'll tell you what. That real fascinating stuff. And I probably have about 100 more questions on how the recruiting process. We'll have to talk about this all again. Maybe off the air, you'll share with me who that other school was. Until then, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you,
make
Jim.
Sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.